And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about Howard Zinn and fake history. Howard Zinn and fake history. Probably one of the leading apostles of the Marxist fake history movement in the 20th century was Howard Zinn. Howard Zinn, who wrote the book A People's History of the United States. And this book, if you research it, if you spend any time looking at it, you'll find that you have all these celebrities, Hollywood people, very left-wing liberal Hollywood people that think this is just a great book. And it basically is a book that presents the Marxist view of American history, where the purpose is to go back in the history of our country and to argue that our ancestors were all bigoted, horrible people who came here and, you know, stole the land from the Indians and did all of these horrible, bad things that ultimately developed into America. And that America is built on an immoral foundation. That's the whole idea. And Howard Zinn was one of the leading figures to champion that whole worldview, that post-World War II, after World War II, undermined the traditional view of our country's history, where our forefathers and early historians up into the early 20th century always admired the Puritans, the Pilgrims, those who settled the Old West. They were always seen as very strong, courageous, heroic figures that had to endure many trials to settle this great land. And then, of course, once all the hard work is done, that's when the socialists and the communists come in, and now they want to rewrite everything and reinterpret everything. As Karl Marx said, the first battleground is history. You have to go in and rewrite the history of a country and a people. Now, there's an article that you can find on Front Page Mag about this. And they've got a headline which says, "Back to School and Howard Zinn in the Classroom, Turning American Youth Against Their Country." And that's really the purpose of Zinn's work, to turn American youth against their country. Now, who was Howard Zinn? If you've never heard his name before, this just on Wikipedia, it says Howard Zinn was an American historian, playwright, and socialist thinker. He was chair of the History and Social Sciences Department at Spelman College and a political science professor at Boston University. Zinn wrote over 20 books, including his best-selling and influential A People's History of the United States. And it goes on to say Zinn described himself as, quote, "something of an anarchist, something of a socialist, maybe a democratic socialist," end quote. That is a quote from Howard Zinn. Now, of course, that's worth noting when you figure that Howard Zinn died in the year 2010, and that term democratic socialist has gotten a lot of traction with Bernie Sanders. Now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she calls herself essentially a democratic socialist. That is, right now, that is the worldview that has overtaken the Democratic Party in the United States. But notice how it begins. It begins with undermining American history and undermining the worldview of American history. In fact, here's another article that you could find at cityjournal.org. It says, "Eye on the News." This is from back in the year 2010. And it says, "An FBI history of Howard Zinn. Did the historian lie about his Communist Party affiliation?" Then it goes on to talk about how Howard Zinn was interviewed by the FBI back in the 1950s. Why? Because you had all of this communist activity going on, of course, and you had the McCarthy movement, and the McCarthy movement is the one that got all the press, but the real information that was being buried, that the American people, that most Americans today don't know anything about, the real information was being gathered by the Reese Committee. The Reese Committee, which was headed by Congressman B. Carroll Reese, B for Brazilla, that was his first name, Brazilla Carroll Reese, and Congressman Reese put this committee together to investigate the influence of these tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Ford, Guggenheim, and the Carnegie Endowment. And there's even a book that I recommend called Foundations, Their Power and Influence by Renee Wormser. Wormser was the lawyer for the Reese Committee. And if you read that book, it's pretty incredible. If you read the introduction, you read the commentaries from Congressman Reese. There's commentaries there talking about the media at that time, how much of the media was being manipulated even back then, so that the findings of the Reese Committee would not really see the light of day. The Reese Committee was mentioned by Carol Quigley briefly in his book Tragedy and Hope. And what he says in his book Tragedy and Hope is that he's talking about these secret groups that are working behind the scenes. And that at times they've come very close to being exposed for what they're doing. And he says one of those times was the Reese Committee. And he points out that the Reese Committee got close to really exposing what they were doing, but that most people don't really know. You know, you've had all these conspiracy theories about the Illuminati and this kind of thing. And while there is a real history to the Bavarian Illuminati, and certainly elements of that philosophy have come into the modern world, the reality is, if you want to understand globalism, you have to understand communism and socialism and their origins. I think you have to understand their origins all the way to Rome, because then that takes you back to the elitist powers of old Europe. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about the elitist powers in both Western and Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe, this is where Islam comes in. This is where the reformers come in, and how the reformers believed that the Eastern and Western Roman Empire were the two horns of the beast of Revelation. I still believe they had it right, because that's what we're dealing with today. You realize Rome, through the Jesuits, ends up developing social justice, socialism, and communism. That's in the West. Now in the East, you have Islam. And what's happening today? Today, you have the socialists, the Marxists, and the Muslims working together. That, brothers and sisters, is the Eastern and Western Roman Empire, if you study their histories, the modern manifestation of it. I mean, once you realize that Hitler representing Western Europe, was working with the Muslims in Eastern Europe during World War II. I mean, it's when you start measuring this up against prophecy and what we're warned about the two legs of the statue in Daniel chapter 2, symbolizing the Eastern and Western Roman Empire, then the two horns of the beast in Revelation, two horns like a lamb and yet spake as a dragon. The horns like a lamb, like the Lamb of God. It's interesting, in both the East and the West, they both mention Jesus, don't they? They both mention Jesus. Islam talks about Jesus, but it's another Jesus. Rome and its Inquisition talk about Jesus, but it's another Jesus. Two horns like a lamb, and yet spake as a dragon. All right, I want to go back to this article on the FBI history of Howard Zinn. Apparently, years ago, files were released from the FBI talking about Zinn and their interviews with him, etc. And here's what the article says at one point. It's a lengthy article that you can find online, again, at city-journal.org. But it says this, quote, amid charges, innocuous and amorphous, are specific allegations by numerous eyewitnesses that Howard Zinn was indeed a Communist Party member. After interviewing Zinn on November 6, 1953, and again on November 9, 1954, FBI agents described him as courteous and friendly, yet willing to part with information only after a repetition of pointed questions. Zinn admitted membership in numerous communist fronts, including the American Veterans Committee and the American Labor Party, which employed Zinn at its headquarters in Brooklyn at a time when communists controlled it, but he steadfastly denied membership in the Communist Party itself. Several Communist Party members said otherwise. You find the same thing going on with Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela denied membership in the Communist Party. Then later on, it turned out, well, he actually was a member of the Communist Party. And here you find the same thing with Howard Zinn. Clearly, he was some kind of an agent working in a covert manner for communists in the United States. For his book to become so influential that it became, the required reading in colleges and universities across the country. And effectively, when people have this very negative view of America's early history and, you know, injustice against the Indians and injustice against pretty much everybody to build America, a lot of that comes from Howard Zinn. Certainly, there are other sources as well that are basically trumpeting the same ideas. But Howard Zinn takes a lot of credit for this. I've heard about Zinn for years. Dinesh D'Souza talks about Howard Zinn in one of his films. But he is a key player. And this is why it's important to understand the Reese Committee and what was uncovered. That all the way back in 1920, these tax-exempt foundations set about a project to rewrite America's history, all based upon Karl Marx's idea that history is the battleground, that you've got to go in and you've got to take control of history and you've got to alter it, because what you believe about the past has everything to do with how you're going to view the future. And how you're going to view really anything. I mean, you just think about having a person on trial in a court of law. If there's a false witness sitting there telling you this person 2 years ago did this bad thing and that bad thing and this other bad thing and this other horrible thing, etc., and there are false witnesses accusing somebody falsely. We find this in the Bible. Obviously, we all know about the false witnesses that rose up to accuse Christ in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you have the story of Naboth, who was falsely accused by Jezebel. Jezebel hired false witnesses to get up and testify against Naboth. Why? So he could be destroyed. They would have an excuse to kill him and then steal his vineyard. That's a picture of what communists are trying to do in America. Make false accusations against America, and then, as a result, try and rob the entire country. All right, let's go to our commercial break, and we will talk more when we come back right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins, and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about Howard Zinn and fake history in American schools. More and more people are realizing something that I've talked about before. I will keep saying it because I think it's entirely true, that if we as a country do not take back our education system, this country will be gone within a generation. And to me, a generation, when I say the word generation, I mean 70 years. That is my understanding of a generation from the Bible. I understand there's other interpretations, but nevertheless, within 70 years, I think, within, you know, you figure the lifetime, the average lifespan of a person, within a generation. Why? Because what's going to happen is you're going to have children that are going to be raised up in our schools and colleges and universities, and they are being taught a progressive form of anti-Americanism. And I remember when I was going to school back in the 70s and 80s, and then to college and whatnot, there was some of this, but it wasn't nearly as bad as what they are teaching now. In fact, I was listening to, Adam Carolla giving his testimony, talking about how he used to be able to go out to colleges in America and do his routine, and people would laugh or people would interact, and everything was fine. Then he said he went out again 15 years later and toured colleges, and it was a completely different environment. Within 15 years, a completely different environment, very hostile, very intolerant, would not listen to anything that even remotely sounded like something they didn't like. Now people need safe spaces and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, it was just absolute insanity that's going on in the colleges. It's like something has happened here over the last 20 years where the Marxists in our education system have put the left-wing brainwashing on hyperdrive. It used to be very, very subtle years ago. Now it's on hyperdrive. Now it's almost like they've got all the kids drugged on some kind of philosophic heroin or meth. You know, philosophically, I use the word drug because that's the word the Jesuits used for their doctrines back in the Elizabethan time. Okay, or back in the, well, I should say after Elizabeth, during the time of King James and King Charles, Charles I. They talked about the sovereign drug, a certain doctrine, the sovereign drug of Arminianism that they had supposedly put into the churches. Okay, but it was a doctrine that they put into the churches that, in their view, would operate like a drug. And that's what I see when I'm watching all of these young people out there and they have these crazy ideas, just absolutely crazy ideas. All right, so this article from Front Page Mag, different article now, turning American youth against their country. At one point, they say, they talk about all the victim groups because this is the big thing now. Everybody's a victim. And they're bringing out the American Indians right now. And they're having the Democrats. They had Elizabeth Warren go out there and she had to give her apology for pretending she was an American Indian. Trump calls her Pocahontas and so on. And she's sorry for the harm that she caused and this kind of thing. And then another one of the candidates is saying that if she's elected, then there's going to be an apology and all this other kind of stuff to the American Indians. You know, when I was a kid, we never saw the Indians as victims. I have to tell you that. Back in the 70s, I don't remember them that way. I remember I used to have the Johnny West dolls, okay? Now, if you never saw the Johnny West dolls, you really missed out. But the Johnny West dolls were great, and they had Johnny West. He was the hero. They had Black Bart. They had Geronimo. The Geronimo doll was great. But we loved the Indians back in the 1970s. We didn't think they were victims. We didn't hate the Indians. That wasn't our view at all. We thought the Indians were cool. They were an admirable opponent from back in the days when there were cowboys and Indians that were fighting each other. But we grew up watching the Lone Ranger, the old Lone Ranger series, you know, hi-yo, Silver, away. And the Lone Ranger and Tonto, and nobody thought Tonto was a bad guy or a victim or anything like that. Nobody thought that way. This was a conflict where you had two different groups of people, two different cultures that were at war for an extended period of time, wars that ultimately went on for several hundred years, from the 1600s to the 1800s. And the Indians ultimately were defeated. But I remember the story of Geronimo. We always admired Geronimo because he and his braves, it was said that he and his braves fought so well that it was believed that they would never have been defeated because you never would have been able to outsmart them in the hills and the mountains and so on because they knew those things so well. And it was only because the Indians came to miss their families. They didn't want to be on the run and fighting all the time. They just grew weary of the constant conflict, and they wanted to go be with their families. So they chose to surrender and to submit to the authorities and cooperate. But when this happened, everybody admired Geronimo. Everybody thought Geronimo was cool. People did not look down on the Indians. They didn't see the Indians as victims. They saw them as just like two boxers in a ring. They're fighting each other. They both fight well, but somebody wins in the end. The defeated boxer is not a victim. You don't look down on him and you don't feel sorry for him. He fought well. And that was the view of the Indians. I mean, we have in the U.S. Capitol, we've got a statue there of, and I was surprised when I saw it years ago, there's a statue there of Sacajawea, the Indian woman who had traveled with Lewis and Clark. We never looked down on the Indians, and we never saw them as these victims. Now they're turning them into this victim class. Now everybody goes to college to learn how to be offended. How can you be offended at something? It's the how can we be offended? So they go to all the different groups and they teach the Indians now how to be offended. How can they be offended by what happened, etc. Rather than encouraging them to take part in America, which, quite honestly, you know, God has blessed our country to become the greatest country in the world. They have every reason to take part in America. But I think the question that should be asked, I mean, you know, what is to be gained by rehashing all of the conflicts in the past? What's to be gained by it? I mean, what does anybody really think they're going to gain by saying, oh, America did us wrong back here. America did us wrong back there. I mean, if this standard were to be applied to all of the groups and cultures that were guilty of something, there would be no end of lawsuits and account of everybody would have to pay something to somebody, because there is nobody's culture anywhere that is somehow or other not guilty. It's almost like all of the cultures of the world are in the same position as the men of John chapter 8, when they bring out the woman taken in adultery. And Jesus says to them, he among you who is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. And the reality is nobody can cast that stone. That's the reality. But that doesn't fit the narrative that the Marxists want to communicate in our country. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.